What a miserable day. But we're going to bring the sunshine inside. Oh, my word. It's going to be hard work today, I can tell. Tracy, you're going to bring the sunshine later, aren't you? She always brings the sunshine. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome the people who are the other side of that screen. It's a miserable day, but we need the rain. God does need the rain, don't we? So, in Misha, I never know if to say Misha or Micah, he has shown you what is good and what does the Lord require of you, of us, to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Lord, we walk humbly with you this morning, but we know how faithful you are to us. Whatever we're going through, you are faithful, whether it's good times or bad. You are the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen. I always think about Glenys when it comes to that line, the vilest offender. Through her prison ministry, she's seen some people come to Jesus, and it's such a privilege to have seen that. The man on the cross at the side of Jesus came to Jesus. He saw Jesus in heaven. It's never too late. If you haven't asked Jesus into your life today, do it today. Ask somebody to pray with you. It's a real privilege to have Jesus in your life. To know the love and share the love of Jesus is amazing. It's one of the greatest gifts. So we ask Jesus that you'll be very real to us through the rest of the service, that you'll be real to Tracy and she'll share your word, that you'll just be with us. We'll feel your comfort and your peace today. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
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 Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all on this very wet morning. It's pouring down outside, isn't it? But it's nice and warm in here. Nice and bright. And we're just thankful that we're able to be together. Welcome to those who are nice and warm inside somewhere watching YouTube. And do hope you'll enjoy your time with us as well. Special welcome to Tracy this morning, who's come to speak to us. I'm sure she'll be telling you a bit about herself when she comes up here in a few minutes. So thanks very much for coming. Right, just a few notices for this week. The ladies are meeting again tomorrow for the first time after the summer break, and they're meeting at 1 o'clock down here at church for a lunch for this first session. So that's a bit earlier than normal. Tuesday the 10th, we have the art playgroup down here at church from 10 to 11:30, and then 1 until 2:30. And on Wednesday the 11th of September, pray and pick. It might just be a pray if it's like this, Jan. meeting at church at 11 o'clock. Lunch club as usual at 12 on Thursday. Next Saturday, Axe and Snacks. That's really come round very quick. We've got quite a few names at the back just to get an idea of numbers. But please, if you've not signed up and you want to turn up last minute, that's absolutely fine. So it starts at 6 o'clock and until 8, and we look forward to a good time together. Something you can bring your family and friends to, just a nice social evening for us all. Saturday the 5th and the Sunday the 6th of October, our harvest weekend. We're on the Saturday, we're having a coffee morning from 10 until 12, and we're raising funds for Macmillan. You know, they have their big coffee morning at the end of September, so we thought we'd support that this year. And then the harvest service is on the 6th of October. Shoebox appeal, it's getting nearer. I've put some boxes down here. Hazel's not here this morning, but some boxes and leaflets if you want to start collecting. It will be, they'll be due in about mid-November normally. And the BMS Christmas catalogues are at the back. Come on, Philip, let's be knowing.
Christmas is 14 weeks on Wednesday.
14 weeks on Wednesday, which is no time at all, is it? So, you know, you need to keep on top of these things. Some of us went to the home of Tina and Michael yesterday for a fundraising event for Smile Train. They've been doing this for years now and they've raised a lot of money. And it didn't rain, thank you, Lord. It was a bit chilly, a bit overcast, but all in all, they've raised £600, which, that's brilliant, isn't it?
which is enough for four children to have this vital surgery, cleft palate and airlip. So that's four children's lives that are going to be transformed in a few hours when they have their operation. So just thank you to everybody that contributed. I've got some important and I think quite exciting news to share this morning. I think the majority of people in here this morning might already know because an email has been sent out and letters, but it does concern the whole church family, so we want as many people to be involved in this as possible. I'm sure you'll know that lots of stuff's been going on behind the scenes since David left, and to follow the process of calling a new minister. And a very significant part of this was the writing of the profile, which was done very quickly and efficiently. We had a lot of help from a good number of people. And almost immediately that it was completed, we as in the leadership team were put in touch with a prospective minister. Now, we exchanged profiles, which are very similar. We had several conversations by phone and Zoom, and we prayed together for God's guidance. And all in, well, it has been very positive on both sides. The minister is Jo Regan, and she came as a guest speaker a few weeks ago. You might remember perhaps more of a very tall husband, John, who came with her. And she came to preach with a peep, as it's called. I suppose it means undercover, really. She just came as a visiting speaker. Bit cloak and dagger, but these things have to be done in a certain way. Anyway, the leadership team met with Joe and John on the Saturday afternoon. We had some tea and cakes together, and we asked questions. We had lots of good conversation, and then we took her a little tour around the villages so that she could get a feel for the place. So then we all met up, the leadership team met to discuss what had happened, and we decided to take the process on to the next stage if Jill felt the same. And she did. And so on the weekend of the 28th and 29th of September, Jo is coming to preach with a view to the ministry. The 29th is the day that we should be having our praise and prayer service, but we wanted to get a date in as soon as possible, so we've had to postpone that service probably till the end of October, or maybe a bit later. But this is something that we need to get a move on with, really. So to enable as many people as possible to meet Joe and John, we're planning a get-together on the Saturday afternoon, the 28th, there'll be a chance to ask Joe questions, have conversations with them both. And then we're having a buffet tea, because we have to have food, don't we? we plan to start about 3 o'clock in the church for like a bit of a questions and answer thing. And then we'll go into the school room for tea for more informal chats. So Joe will then preach the Sunday morning, and then we'll have some more tea and coffee and cake. We just want to give as many people possible time as possible chance to meet her and speak to her. So after the visit, a church meeting has to be called as soon as possible to discuss the outcome, and a decision has to be made whether we call Joe to be our minister or not. We'll be voting by secret ballot, will it, Rob? Yeah. So a special church meeting will be held on Sunday the 6th of October, which is the Harvest Festival, but it's the only time we can do it, really. So it's after the Harvest Festival service, we'll be having a meeting at 12 o'clock, we usually have church meetings after a morning service now, don't we? Can all church members please make every effort to attend, and we'll send an agenda out before the meeting. I don't know whether we'll be able to Zoom for church members that can't actually get in the building, but only people that are in the building are eligible to vote. Is that right? So we'll check that out. But if you could try and make every effort to be here, and then we can just talk about it for a while and then make the decision. So that's given everybody a week to think and pray about it. On a practical note, we would appreciate donations of food for the buffet. There's a list at the back if you can just pop your name on if you're able to bring something. And I would just say finally, please be very prayerful about the future ministry of our church, and do get in touch if there's any questions that you need answering. Thank you. Tracy, can I invite you to come up and speak to us, please? Thank you.
Don't know how to follow that. That all sounds very exciting. All your minds must be wearing after that news. I'm also feeling a little bit. I've got some big shoes to follow after Peter came to see you last week. He lives and breathes a big life. I've seen him be able to have amazing conversations with people within moments of meeting them. I just genuinely don't know how he does it. I watch in awe and hope I can just learn a little bit from him. So a little bit about myself. I was ordained as minister at South Ossett Baptist Church. That's just on the edges of Wakefield, so only just over half an hour away. That's all it's taken me this morning. I started work there about 9 years ago as a family and children's worker. The congregation, the membership was, I think, 13 at the time. We did go down to 8. There's lots and lots of work being done, supporting families in the area. And hopefully some of that story is going to get woven into, what I'm going to share with you today. Because I believe the principles of big life and the way in which we have adopted them has made such a difference to the people, that we were serving. And the way in which the church has grown. Just as a little bit of a spoiler, we are no longer 8 members. We're back up to 13, but not only are we back up to 13, but there's a much, much wider, community has developed, over recent years. We've seen some amazing things. The baptistry's been open after, I'm afraid to say, decades. We've had baptisms and potentially some more coming as well. So I believe Peter was talking to you about what it is to be a disciple. Is that correct? Yeah. And I just wonder if that's struck a chord with anybody over the last week, if there's been any thinking and praying about that, and exactly what it means to be a disciple. So I believe he shared Luke 5, and there's one of, I really love Luke 5:5. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now, isn't that being obedient in its truest form? End of your tether. Jesus says, do something, and they do it. And my goodness, did they reap the rewards for doing that. And hopefully you will see something of that in what I'm about to share with you. So I'm going to be sharing... it's called a Discovery Bible Study, also known as 3/3, basically because it's sort of split into three. As you meet people, you split the conversation and your time together into three. But before I get to that, is somebody on the screen? We are right to get the next one. Yep, and again. There we go. So, just a little bit of a visual that I find really helpful, the three-legged stool, that kind of symbolizes our journey of discipleship. And I don't know if you can read it too well, but it's knowledge, sharing, and obedience. And each one of those legs on that stool, one can't be longer or shorter than the other, otherwise you are very much going to wobble. You're going to... So we need the knowledge, we need to share, and we need to be obedient. And I do... My personal opinion is that here in the West, we have focused so much more on the knowledge side of it. And we just absorb it all in. We just learn. And we know we're meant to share, and we can feel guilty about not sharing. We can just not know what to do and who to share with, but we are called to share. And we're also called to obedience, because if we don't have that obedience, then we start to live without integrity. The people that we share with kind of don't take it on as much as they could, because they can't see that that's how we're living our lives. So knowledge, sharing and obedience in equal measure. Otherwise, we are going to fall off that stool. So rather than feeling guilty about it, it's helpful to look at what some of the common barriers are. And I can tell you that I was family and children's worker and had been for a number of years. We had set up this, I think it's amazing, group on a Friday morning to help support new families. And there was lots of relationship building. There was lots of trust building up. There was a sense of community. But where was Jesus? And I found it so difficult to share my faith. I felt that I had to have all the answers. I felt that I put an extra weight on my shoulders that really wasn't there. You know, all those things that have been said in the past about people not wanting to know about Jesus, well, they do. They really do. And they want to know why you believe what you believe. And they also want to have a say in it. And God wants them to have a say in it, because he loves them and he speaks to them, even if they don't realize it. He is speaking to them. And there'll be examples of how I've seen that at work. The first lady I asked to come and do a three-thirds group, and I call it a group, but please hold that word loosely. It can just simply mean meeting with another, just one other person, and that's what's needed to be a group. So I knew this made sense to me, this sharing of faith, this made sense to me, but I didn't know what to do about it. And God is so good, isn't he? He sent this lady who started to say to me, it was during COVID, I'm missing attending a church that she went to just once a month. Didn't profess any faith, but she was missing going to church. All I had to do was to say, would you like to meet up on Zoom or go for a walk? I think we was allowed to go for a walk at that point. And let's just look at scripture together. Tell me what you think of the scripture that we are looking at. That's all I had to do. I could talk to this woman for hours. We got on really well. But the day that I decided I was going to ask her, my heart was racing like you wouldn't believe. And that's all I had to say till in the end. She's talking to me. I'm having a conversation in my head, praying to God. And I just asked her. And she was like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And since then, it has become so much easier to just, in conversation, recognize when people might have something to share about the Bible, that they just want to be heard. So please, though any barriers you've put on yourself, please shake them off. It is so much easier than you think it is. His yoke, it really is light. So yeah, if we could have the next slide. This is the scripture that we're going to be looking at in our own little group. I'm going to ask you to do it. And it is Matthew 28, 16 to 20. So if I just read it now, and then we'll look at it in a few minutes. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So three thirds. In three sections, there's a looking back, there's a looking up, and there's a looking forwards. If we could just have the next one. And we're focusing today on the looking up. Pop on. I'm starting to feel like that, the whole COVID thing, asking for the next slide. So the looking up. I think Peter will have explained to you that Big Life started in India. Lots of people that are being reached are not able to read, so they very much use symbols. I like symbols. I've always been the one doing the dances, you know, with all the actions. But it's when you're reading the passage, what do you like? What do you find challenging? What don't you maybe like about that passage? What does it tell us about God? And what does it tell us about us as humans, or us individually? What are we, what is our response to what we're reading? So what do we like? What's challenging? What does it say about God? And what does it say about us? So this is not a conversation where you have got a leader, an expert, which is really good because I am absolutely not an expert. We are all equal. Now that just, isn't that just Baptist? That just fits in with everything we already believe. We are all equal. So when I'm running these groups as a facilitator, just to keep everybody on track, otherwise they go all over. What do you like? What don't you like? What does it say about God and what does it say about us? But everybody has something to share. Everybody has something to say. We've got to be a little bit careful that we don't do too much church speak. That as you're in your groups today, just try and be aware of how many words you use with each other that maybe somebody who doesn't know Christ or has no experience of church at all might find a little bit, they wouldn't understand it too well. So just be aware of those as well. And if we could just skip through the next two as well. These are for the visual learners amongst us. Jesus did not teach like this. Jesus did not put everybody in rows and give them a test. Instead, it's much more like this next slide. We learn as we go along, don't we? We fall off. We get back on. We wobble a bit. There's usually somebody there cheering us on. There's usually somebody there holding us in prayer. But when we meet Jesus like this, it's a gem. It's beautiful. It's in our hearts. And we learn much more about Jesus this way than somebody telling us. And so Big Life to me is this. It's about letting people learn Jesus, because Jesus will always want to reach out to them. So if we jump to our next slide, please. So our groups. I'm going to ask you to go into groups of two, three, no more than four, because I don't think we have very long. How long? Have we got maybe 10 minutes? Have we got 10 minutes? Yeah. So just 10 minutes. And I'd like everybody to have an opportunity to speak and share in your own little groups. So what you like, what you find challenging, what is this passage saying about God, and what is it saying about us? And if I can just pray for you, Father God, as we read this very, very well-known passage, Lord, I pray that you speak to us all. Lord, that you allow us to just share in a deeper way and a knowledge about you, about what we like, what we don't like, what it says to us about you, Lord, and what you are trying to say to us. Amen. So I think the next slide has got the scripture on, if that is helpful. So just 10 minutes. really sorry you haven't got a little bit longer to be able to explore that, but it really is just a flavour of the conversations that we have inside these groups, these intentional conversations with others. So how was that? Did that feel okay? It was okay. Excellent. I hope if anybody's watching on YouTube as well, you've had a chance to have conversations with people at home as well. Just to give you an idea, this is a very safe place. You probably know each other very well. And sometimes, if we've been a Christian for a while, we kind of know the right answers. Can I just tell you some of the beauty of talking with people who don't know the right answers? It takes my breath away sometimes, and completely blindsided by some of the things that are said, but it has taught me so much that, you know, God is speaking through them. Whether they believe that they know Christ or not, God speaks to me through them, and they speak to each other through that. So one of my favorite stories of one of these groups. So there was, I predominantly work with women, with mums that come along to this group on a Friday. It's not exclusively for women. It's also not exclusively for adults either. We also use the principles and these questions within our messy church. And again, the children just come up with so many wonderful things. But on this particular day, we was looking at Anna. We was looking at Jesus being taken to the temple as a baby. And, oh my goodness, the conversation took a turn that I was not expecting. We started talking about feminists and how this lady had wasted her life and had hidden, and she was a scrounger, just staying in the temple all her life. And I can see faces amongst you all going, "Ooh, no, that's not the story we know." But that is what came out to these ladies. And you kind of have to just bite your tongue a little bit and just go, okay, that's what you think. That's where you are. And then I asked the question, what does it say about God? And it went quiet. And believe me, they're a raucous bunch. But it went quiet. And then one by one, as the Holy Spirit was speaking to them, because we'd sat there and opened up the Word of God together, he turns up, he just does. They all started saying, oh, she was wise, wasn't she? People sought her out for counsel. She was the community. You know, she was a very respected member of the community. And I'm like, how did you get from scrounging feminists over to a wise member of the community? How did you do that? Could only be the Holy Spirit at work. And I see that happen every single time I open the Bible and talk to somebody who has never considered opening the Bible before, but they have a voice and I ask to hear it. And big life principles allow you to do that. They ask to hear from them rather than us tell somebody what's right and wrong. The Holy Spirit will do that. They will guide them. Another thing that I've not been truthful with you, but as I first discovered Big Life, the members of the church didn't really get it. Some doubted. Some weren't sure. But it just made sense to me. So it was the only way. I know I'm stood here, but I'm really not that much of an extrovert. You don't have to be an extrovert. You just need to speak to somebody to be able to have these conversations. And so I went ahead and I did it. And since then, I've had the joy of seeing other members of the church that maybe would never speak at a church meeting, but they suddenly feel like they've got something to give in these groups. And it's just been wonderful to see. Another lady has come into membership, been a Christian for a long time, has been feeling really dissatisfied and feeling like, but nobody wants to know about Jesus. And then she's made her way and heard about some of these groups that are taking place. And she's like, oh, actually, people do want to know. And she's now coming to membership. She's, again, her faith has just come to life. She's on fire again, and able to speak in her work. Her work is very limited of what she can say about her faith, but she is able to have these conversations. My mum's not a Christian, and I'm able to, I call these my stealth conversations, my stealth groups, where I'm able to go, oh, mum, we was talking about this last night. Tell her the scripture. Go, what do you think? And suddenly she's engaged. She's like, oh, well, I think this, which is just wonderful, just wonderful to be. I think on the next slide, it's called three thirds. We've done the middle bit. We've just done the looking up. And I'm now going to move to the last third, which is a looking forwards. And this is where some of the obeying comes in. You then pray. You've asked all the questions and you pray. And ask in the most appropriate way. You know, it's not legalistic. You know how you speak to your friends, but ask, what have you learned from this scripture? How are you going to take that forward? Is there something you need to obey in it? So for us reading this scripture, it could be, well, actually, we are called to go and make disciples. So I need to obey that. Is it to train somebody? Is it to go and share this with somebody else, and to train somebody up to help them be a disciple who makes disciples? Or is it to share? And again, I would say my experience in that is a lot of them wouldn't say they were sharing. And I'd be thinking, oh, this just isn't working. You know, this is the most important question, is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? This is about loving accountability. And they'd all say, no, I'm not going to tell anybody. And then I started, when I saw their partners or their husbands, they'd be saying, oh, they came back from that group and they said this. And then the husbands would have gone into work and they'd have had a conversation with somebody at work about what's being discussed. And now we're seeing, actually, we've got, from the original groups, there's now groups that have got the husbands and partners in, or other members of the family are coming into the groups. A joy for some of us is some of our adult children are now starting to be interested in a way that they've not been before. So, looking forwards, how are you going to put this scripture, what you have just learned, into practice? Then when you meet the next time, you look back. So the next time you meet, you look back. If you could pop the next one up. Now, how many of us in our normal life, when we've had a conversation with somebody, we've said, oh, I need to go to the doctors, or, oh, I've got to go and have this really difficult conversation with somebody, or, oh, I can't wait, there's a party, or something, you know, we share our lives with our friends, right? And then the next time we get together, is the natural starting point for that conversation, did you go to that party? Did you have fun? How did you get on at the doctors? Because that's doing life with people. And the word accountability makes us all a bit scared, makes us feel like we're sat in front of the headmaster again. But this is how we disciple. This is how we grow in faith. A perfect example of this was one of the ladies, I cannot remember what passage it was, but as we got to this point, she said she was going to a wedding, but it was going to be really awkward, and she realised that she had to have a conversation with her sister because there was some forgiveness needed. And so when we met the next time, it's like, oh, how are things with your sister? You know, how was the wedding? And she had gone prior to the wedding and asked her sister for forgiveness for whatever had gone on. And their relationship is restored and renewed. Now, if that isn't Christ at work, I don't know what is. And so this, you know, the looking forward and the looking back are really important. And so you can do it structured, you can invite people round, you can go to the cafe, you can go to the pub, and you can have a structured meeting, or you can do what I do a little bit and do the stealth one. And actually, you weave it through your conversations. Peter is an expert at that. He's just a master at it. So there are some sheets and a bookmark. This sheet explains a lot more in detail as to what all the symbols on the bookmark mean, as to how to intentionally have these conversations, how to have a group. And the bookmark has got other things on the back, and I believe Giles is coming to speak to you next week, and he's going to look a bit more. So don't get like, oh, what on earth do all those mean? Giles will be coming to talk to you next week about them. But I just really, really like to encourage you, whatever is weighing you down about talking to somebody about Jesus, please shake it off. You know, let that heart race a little bit when you have that first conversation, but you know, hey, I'm still here. and have a think, have a pray about who you might be being led to meet up with and have these conversations on a regular basis. Because God will show up. God will show up and he will change their lives. That the lady I've spoken about, her life restored with her sister. Families, you know, we're seeing families come to Christ. One lady, her partner wanted nothing to do. She came to Christ through these groups, and he says, I don't want anything to do with it. If you want to believe, that's fine. He didn't come to her baptism. He wanted nothing to be said in the house. So next year, I'm conducting their wedding, and he's agreed to wedding prep, and we've already had multiple conversations about Jesus. So you know, it's not a program, it's not a manipulation thing. It's who you are. It's your faith. Let it show. Let that light show. Let me pray for you all. Lord, I pray that you highlight different people that these wonderful brothers and sisters know. You put someone on their heart. Someone, Lord, that you are already drawing closer to you. Lord, let those conversations come naturally. Let their love for you be able to shine through. Let there be a desire to hear what other people think about you, even when those are sometimes a little bit hard to hear. But Lord, you are already in those conversations. Holy Spirit, come and renew hearts. Make these conversations really natural. Take away any of the barriers that we ourselves have erected. And Lord, I pray for a fresh excitement to open up your word and see you at work in our lives and the lives of others. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Have a nice piece of cake with a cup of tea.